It is Bill Leth on WGN, along with Alex Levine. Alex makes a return visit to the show. Actually, this is your third time, right, Alex?
Yes, it is.
I think you win something when you're on the show three times. I'm not sure what, but I think we're going to send you a prize of some sort. A robe.
No problem. I love being on the show.
I think you get a robe. I'm pretty sure you get a robe. I'm not 100% sure, but we'll find something for you. Alex is
I'll take a mug, a pen.
You want anything? All right, we'll send you something. Alex is also known as the food truck freak. She reports to us from time to time on what's going on with the food trucks in the city. And there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of news, huh, Alex?
There is. Every few months, it seems like there's a rise.
Yep. Now, on last night's show, Alex, we were talking about Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and here's why. He's coming up next week on the midway point in his term. He'll be at 2 years out of his 4 years. And we had a lot of people calling up saying, you know, I asked the question, how do you think he's doing at the end of 2 years? And nearly everybody was displeased with what he's doing. However, when it comes to food trucks, he's actually doing some good things, right?
I would argue the contrary.
Oh, would you? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's trying to get more food trucks, isn't he?
No, he and his publicists are having a field day. They're completely misreporting the facts and his actions.
Oh, I was under the impression he was trying to get more. That's not it, huh? All right, tell me what he's doing. What's he doing wrong?
For example, July 25th of last year, so almost a year ago now, they voted the alderman and the mayor. Yeah, let food trucks cook on board. It's been almost 300 days since then, and only six such licenses have been issued.
Why is that? What's going on there?
It's interesting. They're dragging their feet. They're saying, oh, we need time to figure it out, and, you know, the licensing and whatnot. They have tons and tons of cities who have offered up their own code and said, this is how we do it. If you want to model yours off of ours, that have been wildly successful. They've decided not to go that route. They've decided to model theirs after probably the most backward city, you know, next to Chicago in terms of food truck legislation, which is Boston.
Yeah.
They've decided to not heed the legal warnings. Going against the grain is what they're doing. There actually is a lawsuit filed against them for how unconstitutional their actions have been. One of those such actions actually has to do with the Taste of Chicago right now. The restaurants here in Chicago seem to think that if the 100 cooking licenses are issued to food trucks in Chicago, and if they're allowed to park in any legal parking space, then there's going to be some kind of apocalypse that ensues or something. They think that all rest of that will be the downfall of all restaurants. So they're going to their aldermen and the mayor to try to mitigate those fears. And instead of saying no, that is actually not what the government is designed to do, and in fact that's unconstitutional for us to help you with. Oh, and by the way, our country was founded off of good old American spirit and competition.
I've read that, yes.
Instead of telling them that, they said, oh, by all means, what can we do to help you? One of the things that the mayor decided to do with, you know, I think everybody knows that the Taste of Chicago has been less than successful in recent years.
Yeah.
And so last year, he kind of made his last-ditch efforts to save it, and this year they decided to, quote-unquote, welcome food trucks. Food trucks have been in Chicago for many years, and this year was the first time they're even allowed to kind of toe the border.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of letting them in the Taste, they're like, well, we'll give you a few hours at the concert series. And by the way, we'll charge you 25% commission on that when we're only charging pop-up restaurants 20%.
Well, how do they get away with that? That's confusing. What would be behind that exactly?
Pure old discrimination is all that it looks like.
Yeah.
I would say when I was looking at the application for food trucks and was kind of going back and forth because the food truck application looks almost identical to the pop-up one,
yeah,
except for a few little details, and that's one of them.
Well, that's frustrating, isn't it?
It is. It's very weird, and it seems like it's one of the many attempts that the city has done to tell the city, oh, yeah, we're welcoming food trucks and we're doing everything we can to help them, while in the background they're actually doing the opposite. They're doing everything they can to kind of stick it to them.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Alex. I fell prey to that myself. From everything I had been reading of recent, it seemed to me that the mayor and his office seemed to be on board, like they were being beneficial, but that's not the case, huh?
Exactly. They have been... I mean, I think in their eyes, they've been suffering a lack of public favor.
Yeah.
And that's because because their actions have been unfavorable.
Yeah.
And so they got together with their publicist and said, how can we change this? But we don't really want to change anything. And so they got together and they drafted some pretty good stuff that has actually, you know, they have connections with people who can get their stories out much better than, you know, food trucks can.
Yeah.
So they're kind of controlling the story. They're controlling that. And I'm hoping to kind of show the facts and present people with all of the facts before so they can make their opinion.
Alex can always be read at her website, which is foodtruckfreak.com, by the way. Alex, in the past when we've talked about this, the difficulty that food trucks have had in coexisting, most of the friction seems to come from your traditional restaurants who are afraid that a food truck could potentially cut into their business. Do you think that it's those regular restaurants that are kind of somehow lobbying and getting in the way of the progress here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the prime examples of that is what was in the news today and yesterday is that the story was out that they're increasing the number of food truck stands from 21 to 30.
Yeah.
What's not mentioned in there is that they themselves, the aldermen, legally mandated that they put 30 food truck stands on the road. So really what they're doing is fulfilling their own legal obligation that they themselves wrote.
This is so unlike Chicago. I can't imagine this going on here. I'm shocked and appalled. I'm either shocked or appalled. I'm not both. I'm one or the other. I'm trying to decide which one I am.
Well, okay, so it gets even better. So the people who are writing this and trying to figure out where these stops go, one of them, Alderman Tom Tunney, himself a restaurant owner.
Yeah.
Also Alderman Riley, who, if you look at who his contributors have been over the past decade even, his biggest contributors are brick-and-mortar restaurants. And they happened to also show up to the city hall hearing last July and testified against food trucks. So you can see, given those facts, you'd wonder, I wonder how fair they're going to be and where they put these food truck stands.
Yeah.
One of them, for example, is, you know, down on Roosevelt where that kind of new complex is with Panera Bread and the great Whole Foods and everything down there?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah.
They put across the street from that, around like 825 South Canal, I think it is. That's mm-hmm. one of the food truck stands is. And they're like, well, it's a highly congested area. How many people are walking down there being like, I'm just moseying down the road looking for lunch or dinner?
All right. Yeah, there's something to that. It's a little bit of a hike to get to.
Yeah. And there's just, though there's a lot of car traffic, there's not a lot of foot traffic. And that's one of the other kind of plays on words that the city is doing with their publicists and saying, well, we're putting these food truck stands in highly dense areas, which is true, but they are far, many of them. This isn't true of all of them, but the large majority of them are definitely not areas that have a lot of foot traffic.
Well, the word dense means a lot of different things. You know that.
Yeah.
Is there data that shows, Alex, any kind of, a correlation to where the food trucks are in relation to the brick-and-mortar restaurants, and if it does, in fact, cut into their business at all? Do they have any sort of data to show that?
No, they don't.
They don't.
In fact, they actually have the contrary data. They have cities like L.A. and New York where you have all these food trucks and literally thousands of food trucks and restaurants coexisting. So if they have even 1,000, that's 10 times more than Chicago said they would ever license. So, and they haven't, I'm pretty sure they still have restaurants. And I truthfully, truth be told, I haven't heard of a single case where a food truck being around has been the sole purpose of a restaurant closing. I haven't even heard of it being a contributing purpose.
It seems to me, and I'm just a guy who eats food a couple of times a day, I don't really study this, but it seems to me that the two experiences are totally different, that somebody going to a food truck is doing it to get the food and go and eat the food somewhere else as opposed to a restaurant where you're looking for more of a sit-down experience. That seems to be the way it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is, who are the people that are protesting? The guys who own steakhouses. Do you have, like, Kiefer's Steakhouse, you have Harry Carey's, you have Let Us Entertain You, all places that have wait staff and, you know, you sit down, you have a really nice meal, you're probably paying upwards of, I mean, at least Let Us Entertain You and above 15 to 75 bucks
sure.
per person per meal.
Yeah.
Food trucks, I mean, your average entree is $8. So there's a huge difference there. And everyone, no matter even if you have the budget for either one, usually you know the areas that they all tend to serve or would like to serve are areas where the person's going to know. If they're descending from their office for lunch, they know if they have to get a quick bite, or if they want to sit down, have some table service, all that good stuff.
I don't see too many business meetings being held at food trucks. I don't, you know, so many of the things that are staples of brick and mortar restaurants, I don't see there much being too much bleed over. Do you?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. My guest is Alex Levine. She's the Food Truck Freak. Her website is foodtruckfreak.com. We'll talk more about this and a couple of new food trucks that have opened that sound spectacular. We'll get a review in just a moment. It's Bill Leff with you on WGN. My guest is Alex Levine. Her website is foodtruckfreak.com. She is the Food Truck Freak. Alex, that would make a good movie someday. Have you thought about licensing that out to Hollywood?
Every day of my life.
Yep. Who would play you in the movie?
Oh, I haven't thought that far. I've just thought of who the chef would be in the movie.
Who would the chef be?
I think a good half of them have appeared on Top Chef at any point.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. That's very, very good. But before we get on to, I want to talk about one new food truck that has just opened up and one kind of a brick-and-mortar restaurant that that has some interesting food truck ties. What will end up happening? You know, we just told the story of how the mayor's office has spun this very creatively. I myself was fooled by it into believing that they're doing everything they can to make these food trucks flourish when, in fact, it seems to be just the opposite. How's it going to play out, do you imagine?
I think it's all going to come down to there's a lawsuit against the city right now that the very intelligent, very, very experienced people at the Illinois Institute for Justice have filed against the city, and the head attorney on it, his nickname is the patron saint of food trucks.
Oh.
Because he's been so effective in helping food truck owners enjoy the same constitutional rights as other business owners.
If you get these groups together in a room, if you get brick and mortar restaurant owners and food truck people together in a room, do you have chaos or do they tend to get along usually?
Well, that happened at the City Hall hearing last July. It was interesting. The food truck owners were open to discussion, and the other guys, they stormed in, stormed out, huffed in, threw some low blows, and moseyed on out with their posses. So it was definitely a less than comfortable situation. And I think, you know, one side's willing to meet the other halfway, whereas the other just, you know, restaurant owners seem to be of the opinion that these guys better be thankful that they're even letting them roam in any Chicago zip code, let alone think about being downtown. So it's that kind of negativity that's coming from brick and mortars, whereas food trucks are like, dude, we're part of the same culinary community.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's how it is in every other city. They haven't done anything to any restaurants to merit the kind of discrimination and negativity that they're getting. And it's not fair. And they have been so patient with them, and they've had a lot of unfair things happen to them over the years, and they are taking it on the chin like true Americans.
It's crazy because, as you point out, in most other cities, Boston's problematic, but most other cities, they do tend to coexist and everybody gets along and everybody makes some money. But in Chicago, we do things a little differently sometimes.
Yep, we absolutely do.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about especially one new food truck, and then we'll talk about one that has some ties. It's a brick and mortar that has some ties to the food truck world. The Fat Shallot, is this correct?
Yep.
And a shallot, I think I know this, a shallot is like, it's kind of an onion, right?
It's an itty-bitty onion that looks a little bit like a bulb of garlic.
Yeah. All right, so the Fat Shallot is what exactly? What are you getting at the Fat Shallot?
So it was the sixth food truck to receive their cooking license, and I had the pleasure of meeting them the other night and actually trying some of their food, and I was pretty excited because we had been emailing a little bit before. They had emailed me from my blog asking me for some advice, and oddly enough, I actually told them, if you value any kind of security, don't you dare get into food trucks in Chicago right now.
Oh, no. Don't you hate to say that?
I just gave them the honest look. I was like, this is what's going on. This was 5 months ago, right after the City Hall hearing, and things were pretty bad. But they were lucky enough to be one of the six trucks that were licensed. The city hasn't licensed a single truck that has been operational in Chicago.
Hmm.
They've only licensed new ones, which I think is another odd little piece of discrimination. But this Fat Shallot truck, they emailed me once they got up and running, and they're like, by the way, this is what we did, and we'd like to talk to you. And it turns out that I lived in the same town in Spain as they did when Sam, the chef on the truck, was working at a 3-star Michelin-rated restaurant.
Wow.
And I think, I mean, I've been racking my brain to think if there's anyone else, but I think he's the first first to be able to claim that kind of title here.
Nice.
Food truck. Yeah.
Very nice. You would almost think that somebody with that designation would go straight to a brick-and-mortar restaurant, but he chose otherwise.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it is, like I've said before, and like a lot of very seasoned chefs say about food trucks, is it's the absolute best place to get a start as a chef. And Rick Bayless is the one that put it like this to me, is that when you're a chef, you know food based on feel.
Yeah.
You know if it's going to be good based on just being around it, touching it, preparing it, all that good stuff. And he said that's only one part. Food is only one part of opening a restaurant. Aside from the amount of money that it takes to open up a restaurant, you need to have every aspect of the food down pat if you expect to be successful. And he said the best way to do that is on a truck, because that's all you're doing. You're focusing on the food day in and day out. Yeah, you have some other stuff to think about, like the licensing and the marketing and stuff. But in general, the food is the focus. And once you have that down, you're also getting some seed money to open up your own restaurant. And a food truck did that recently at this cute little restaurant by the Board of Trade. And it's called Saucy Porca. I've eaten there 3 times in the past 2 weeks.
I'll tell you what, you wrote about something that they serve there at the Saucy Porca that sounds to me, it's Asian-style paella. I've never heard of anything like that. That's the kind of thing, as soon as I read that, I go, I gotta try that. That sounds insanely good.
When I went there with a group of coworkers, half of them got that.
Oh, that sounds delicious. It really does. Well, Alex, I know that the rough waters seem to be swirling around, but really, I think it'll be okay. Will it be okay? Tell me it'll be okay.
It will. We have the Institute of Justice and the patron saint of food trucks on our side. How could it not?
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong there. Alex Levine is the food truck freak, soon to be a major motion picture, I'm hoping. Her website is foodtruckfreak.com. Alex, thanks so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Bill.
All right, stick around. We got a lot coming up next. It's WGN.